Paraphrase number 2 on the page 143. The paraphrase is number 2. O God of Bethel, by whose hand thy people still are fed, who through this weary pilgrimage has all our fathers led. It's a paraphrase number 2 on the page 143, and we'll rise to sing this to God's praise. We welcome you to God's house today. We're going to unite in prayer together and seek the Lord and leave this meeting in His hands. So let's seek the Lord together with heads bowed and hearts bowed before Him, even as we approach His holy throne. Let's seek the Lord together. O God, our Father, we come to Thee in the name of Thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Thine only begotten, the darling of heaven, the very God of glory. We enter in by faith into His immediate presence through the work of Christ and by the merit of His own dear Son. We rejoice today that we're found in the house of God. We are the living to praise Thee. We say with the psalmist, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And our feet are standing in Thy courts today. We praise Thee today that we're found with minds that are capable of offering praise and glory to Thy glorious and majestic name. We come, Lord, and we acknowledge that Thou art God over all, blessed by the Father. O God, we praise Thee for the Christ of God. We thank Thee for the Son our great mediator, advocate, and surety. We thank thee that he is our righteousness, he is our peace. We thank thee that he is our Saviour, our Lord, and our Redeemer. And as we come before thee, we, as it were, lay our hand on him. And Lord, we appropriate all that Christ has procured for us by his death on Calvary's tree. We make it ours by faith. We rejoice for the access that we enjoy as we enter boldly into the throne room of heavenly grace. And as we come to thee, we thank thee for all mercies that thou hast bestowed upon us. We thank thee for all temporal mercies, health and strength, food and raiment, family and friends. We rejoice, O God, for the land in which we live in and all of its privileges down through the many years. We thank thee for the heritage that is ours. We can say with the psalmist, I have a goodly heritage. And Lord, today we come before thee and we thank thee for our forefathers. We thank thee for the work of God down through the many centuries and decades in this land. And we pray, O God, that thou will continue to preserve such. We ask of thee. We thank thee for temporal blessings and spiritual blessings that come from thy hand. We can say the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that are his. And as we come before thee, we just place our implicit trust in God. Come, Father, what may in the year that lies ahead of us. We just put our hand in the hand of Almighty God. We pray that he will lead and guide us, O Father, right to the very end. We thank thee that we can say again with the psalmist, this God is our God. He will be our guide even unto death. We say with the hymn writer, guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Hold us up, we pray. We pray, O God, that thou wilt draw alongside us and in every need that there is within this congregation of people today. Pray that each need might be met in Jesus Christ. For those that are out of Christ, bring them to know the Redeemer. For those that have wandered away, Lord, draw them back to thyself. May the great shepherd find the sheep that is lost today. For those of God's people that need the lifting up of their hearts and heads, oh, may there be a word in season, a challenge to all of our souls. We think of those families that have gone through deep valley experiences, even in a week that has passed. Those family circles connected with this congregation where death has come and snatched away precious loved ones. We pray that thou wilt draw alongside such and give the comfort and the grace even in this time of their need. For those that are sick in body, sick in mind, oh, may the great physician draw alongside. May there be a touch of heaven upon their own bodies and upon their own frames. May they know, dear God, help even in this their hour of sickness. May they prove the sufficiency of thy grace. Bless, O God, the work of God here on the home front and on the foreign field. We pray for missionaries away from home over this time of year. We pray thou wilt draw alongside. Lord, that thou wilt continue to open doors, swing them wide open, dear God. We think of the work there in Uganda. Lord, continue thy blessing upon the work there. Think, Heavenly Father, of thy work in India. Oh, God, open a door. Oh, for our brother, Reverend Strip, we pray. And work by thy Spirit, even in that nation. 1.2 billion souls perishing without Christ. Maybe never heard the gospel, never heard the name of Christ. Oh, by thy Spirit, open up a way. And Father, we pray that there might be a continual thrusting forth of workers into thy vineyard. Bless the work of our Bible college, the work of our presbytery, and every commission that there is, and every committee connected, dear God, with our own denomination. May thy hand be upon it. And for the work of God across the globe, the universal Church of Christ, may there be an adding to the church daily, such as should be saved. Bless our homes and our families. May we know thy blessing. And as we worship thee in this house, let us be fully engaged. Lord, we know that, Father, we've been here, there, and yonder over recent days, and maybe the body's tired and the mind, O God, can become, Lord, non-responsive even to thy voice. But Lord, waken us, we pray. Let us know, dear God, the voice of God in this house today. This is thy day. Lord, come among us, we pray. Bless thy day. Hallow it, we pray. May we know just heaven coming down and the stirring of our souls. And may we say we were glad. I was glad that I came to the house. May there be profit for us. And so lead us on, even in this time of worship, we pray. And glorify thine own dear Son and him alone. For we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. 580. 580, a sovereign protector of I, unseen yet, forever at hand, unchangeably faithful to save, almighty to rule and command. 580, will rise and sing Augustus Top Lady's great hymn. 580 on the page 410. Can I at this time welcome you in the Saviour's name to the Lord's house on this, the last Lord's Day of an old year, 2015. And we trust that you've had a blessed week and enjoyed the Lord's presence in your homes. But we welcome you to God's house on this, his day. And we trust that you'll know a blessing as you sit under the Word of God. The announcements for the rest of today and the week are as follows. Tonight we meet again in this house at 6:30 in the will of God for a time of prayer. And then 7 p.m. our gospel service. And it will be a special testimony service this evening with our sister Miss Crystal McLaughlin all the way from Kilkeel. A tragic yet a thrilling testimony of God's dealings within a young person's life. And as we said last week, another opportunity to get loved ones and friends under the gospel. I trust that you'll do that. We'll be bringing, in the will of God, a closing message at tonight's meeting. And so let me encourage you to be again in the house of God tonight. 7 p.m. special testimony service with our sister, Miss Crystal McLaughlin. And then note the change of night. Thursday night, not Wednesday night, but Thursday night at 10 p.m. we meet again, and again in this house for our prayer meeting for this week. It's on Wednesday night. Note the change of night, Thursday night at 10 p.m. And then we'll break off at about 11:15 and come into this place for 11 o'clock for a watch night service. And we're going to say goodbye to an old year, 2015. Welcome in 2016. So why not come and join us in the house of God? Our brother Stephen will give a report just of his time at college and I suppose his time down there in Lisburn thus far. And we'll be bringing a word to your heart even on Thursday night. So 10 p.m. prayer meeting and then 11 p.m. our watch night service. Next Lord's Day will be the first Lord's Day of a new year in the will of God. 10:30, the Sunday school and Bible class. 11:30, the prayer time. 12 noon, our family worship service. And I'll be preaching in the will of God on our motto text for 2016. 6:30, our prayer time. 7 p.m., the gospel service. And in the will of God, I'll be preaching even at that service. We trust in God's will. Today, being the last Sunday of the month, is Building Fund Sunday, and so we remind you of that. Building Fund for November came to £380, and the Building Fund envelopes, they're in the hallway there, and if you use those envelopes, well then you do so. Those envelopes are just on the hallway table for 2016. Take your number with you, and we'll be glad of your support with respect to that. And I thank all those who last week came to Gordgofold to sing carols to the residents there. I know that it was deeply appreciated by the folks down there. And let me thank all those who provided items for the gift bags that were handed out to the residents there. Can I thank all those who took part in a carol service last Lord's Day evening, especially the young people and the boys and girls of our Sabbath school. Can I thank the ladies for providing the Christmas supper and those band of workers, the great band of workers who helped to serve out the food. And can I thank all those ladies also who were stuck in the kitchen preparing the sausage rolls and making the tea and all things done behind the scene. We deeply appreciate those that even worked in the kitchen. For those who stayed behind to help us to clear up, we appreciate that. And especially our caretakers for getting the house of God back into order again. Thanks to one and all who helped with respect to our carol service last week. On Wednesday night, we had a most enjoyable deputation meeting with our brother, Mr. Noel Stevenson. At the close of the meeting, we were able to give him a gift, an offering for £1,700. And that's tremendous giving. And certainly, this congregation knows how to give to the work of God. And we deeply appreciate that. And our brother Noel appreciates even your tremendous giving there on Wednesday night past. There are two sheets there on the magazine stand on your way out. One is dates for your diary, 2016. And so these list some, not all, but some of our meetings, January right through to December, in the will of God next year. I just want to draw your attention to one of them. It's found in the month of May. Because God willing, in the month of May, between the 2nd and the 6th of May, we're planning in the will of God to have children's meetings and then adult addiction meetings with our brother, Mr. Chris Killen, in the Dr. John McKelvey Community Centre up there in Kalabake, 22 Kilmacavett Drive. Whenever our brother came in the month of May, he spoke about these types of meetings that he has. And so, God willing, he's going to come. He's going to take the entire children's meetings. We're having them from 7 to 7:45. He's going to take Monday right through to Friday, every one of those meetings. And then Monday through to Wednesday, he's going to do addiction meetings with regard to alcohol and drugs. And then he's going to give his testimony on Wednesday night. And then on the Thursday and Friday night, I'm going to preach the gospel. Two nights of preaching the gospel up there in the Dr. John McKelvey Community Centre. We trust that it'll be ready. It's being refurbished, but we've been told that it will be ready for us in the will of God. That's the 2nd to the 6th of May. And I'm looking forward to that. I believe that the Lord placed this on our hearts, and I believe that the Lord will bless in his way with respect to them. And so we leave that with you. That will be our endeavour this year in the will of God in May, to get the gospel out beyond this community and in to the community around us. So keep that in prayer. Brother Chris will be doing door-to-door outreach, and he's excited about this venture, very excited, and was more than willing and going to come and knock doors and do the outreach even with respect to that. So pray for that. It's on there, that sheet, the 2nd to the 6th of May. And with respect to our brother Chris then, he has a prayer letter. We got him to send that through to us with regard to his work. And you'll find that also beside the dates for your diary on the magazine stand on the way out. Can I thank you for your gifts and cards and support over the last year? We deeply appreciate that. We trust that the Lord will bless you and your families. But we thank you for all that you've done for us over the Christmas period. And we trust that God will bless you and with regard to the generosity that you've shown both myself and Andrea. But we welcome you in the Saviour's name. We trust that God will bless us. We're going to meet around his word in a moment time. So 536 for our offering hymn, 536. Ho, my comrades, see the signal waving in the sky. Reinforcements now appearing. Victory is nigh. Hold the fort, for I am coming. 536, and we'll remain seated for the first part of the hymn. Want to turn in the Word of God to 2 Samuel chapter 5 today. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Want to read from the opening verse of the chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 5, and the verse number 1. The word of God says, "Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou was he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. The Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron. And King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem He reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. The king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same is the city of David. David said on that day, Whosoever getteth up to the gutter, and smiteth the Jebusites, and the lame and the blind, that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, The blind and the lame shall not come into the house. So David dwelt in the fort, and called it the city of David, and David built round about from Millo and inward. And David went on, and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. We'll end our reading at the end of the verse number 10. Let's just unite in prayer at this time. Let's seek the Lord. Our Father in heaven, we come before thee in the precious name of Christ our Savior. And we thank thee for the book of God that is here open before us, the word of the living God, inspired by thee, God breathed. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for instruction. We pray that even today that thou wilt come and instruct us through the word of God. Furnish us, O God, we pray. Cause our lives to mature as we sit under the means of grace. Use the preached word to benefit our souls. And may we know help in the Holy Ghost as we deliver this message today. We believe that this is the Lord's message for today. We're assured of that. Lord, we pray that though there may be some that have heard it preached upon, we ask of thee that they'll come with it with freshness. O God, that thou wilt challenge their hearts afresh, and that we'll know even God's blessing through the preaching of the word of God. So come, shut us into God, shut out the world, we pray, and all the things that would clamor for our attention. And may God be glorified in all things. Answer our petitions, because we offer them in Jesus' precious and wondrous and holy name. Amen. Well, King David had been patiently awaiting the fulfillment of a promise. This God-given promise that one day he would become king over all Israel was relayed to him by Samuel the prophet many, many years before 2 Samuel chapter 5. Now that promise is about to be fulfilled. As all Israel rallies to Hebron, the residence of David, to publicly swear their allegiance to their new monarch, their new king, and anoint him king over all Israel. By the time we reach 2 Samuel chapter 5, we meet David on the verge of moving the center of his royal administration some 20 miles northward from Hebron to Jerusalem. However, there was a problem. There was a problem with regard to that, because as he went to Jerusalem, the Jebusites had entrenched themselves in that city. Jerusalem had to be conquered. As they moved northward, the army together, they saw the rising bulwarks of that great city coming into view. The Jebusites, as we've said, had entrenched themselves in Jerusalem, and they were going nowhere. If David wanted the city, then he had to fight for it and eventually conquer it. Now, back in Joshua's day, the tribe of Judah had tried to oust the Jebusites from the city. However, that attempt had failed, as Joshua 5 and the verse 63 records. As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. A window of opportunity was then given to the Benjamites in the days of the judges to deal with the Jebusites. And yet, the sad record of Scripture reveals that the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. But the Jebusites dwelt with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. Failure on the part of God's people to deal with the Jebusites in the past had caused Jerusalem's residents now to become overconfident, self-confident, we could say. Now, in David's day, they're still there in the great city. They boldly taunt him and his men from behind the safety of her walls. They believe that no one is able to break through their fortifications. And yet the verse number 7 tells us of this chapter, "Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same as the city of David." In 2 Samuel chapter 5, we have a man who wanted to claim new ground for God and see the enemy ousted out of the land. He pictures for us really the man or the woman who desires to go forward for God, striving to enter into their spiritual inheritance while at the same time seeking the flight of the enemy from their lives. Today we want to consider this event in David's life and answer the question, how can I as a Christian go forward with God and for God in a year that lies ahead of us in the will of God? I want us to answer that question. For I fear that there are those within the congregation that have, as it were, taken retrospect steps. They've taken backward steps spiritually in 2015. But we're on the verge of a new year. And God is well able to restore unto you the year that the locust has eaten. And I trust that 2016 will be a year that we'll all go forward with God. The first thing that you must do if you want to go forward with God in a new year in the will of God is that don't listen to the enemy. That's the first thing. Don't listen to the enemy. Sarcastically and arrogantly, these Jebusites shouted over Jerusalem's walls to David's commandos in verse number 6, "Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither." What these men were saying to David was, "David, this city of Jerusalem, known as Jebus before that, it's so well fortified, David, the walls are so impregnable that all that we use to guard our city are blind watchmen and lame soldiers. What good is a blind watchman? What good is a lame soldier?" And yet that's who they put on their walls. They had placed their confidence in the walls of Jerusalem. And they said to David, "Don't even attempt to come and try and conquer this stronghold." These inhabitants had become overconfident, self-assured, that they were now placing those with physical disabilities on the walls to protect them from the invading armies. Quite simply, they were saying to King David, "Don't even attempt to conquer or capture this stronghold, because you'll not be able to do it." And yet the next verse within the scriptures tells us that David took the stronghold of Zion. The reason why David was able to seize that city was because he paid no attention to the enemy. He closed his ears to the boasting of the enemy. David, as a youth, had already been through it all with another enemy who had confronted him in his life. Remember Goliath? He made similar empty threats to David in the valley of Elah. He was going to give David to the birds of the air and his carcass to the wild beasts of the wilderness. Goliath, with all of his taunting, with all of his sarcasm, and yet David triumphed over Goliath on that day because he shut out. He shut out and he did not listen to the enemy. He was assured that on this occasion, God would give him the victory again. Each victory was an encouragement to David that God would again give him another victory. And as he stands outside the city walls of Jerusalem, he was assured that God would help him to triumph over this great city. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, the enemy was trying to paralyze David with fear by what they said. And many a Christian in our generation has failed to do anything for God, failed to go forward with God because they have listened to the enemy the devil and succumb to their fears, the fears of failure, the fear of getting hurt, the fear of disappointing others, the fear of man. The devil has told them, you're not experienced enough. You don't know enough of the Bible. You'll only make a fool of yourself in front of others. And what good would you be able to make anyway within the Church of Jesus Christ? Sure, there are more talented and better gifted people for that in the work of God. And such people, they listen. They listen to the enemy, and as a result of that, they don't go forward. They fail to go forward in their Christian experience. Proverbs 29, verse 25 reminds us that the fear of man bringeth a snare. And anything that is caught in a snare is going nowhere, and certainly not going forward. Let me ask you at the end of an old year, are you going anywhere for God? In the year that has passed, 2015, have you advanced in your walk with God? Or have you allowed yourself to listen to the enemy, who says that you can't, instead of listening to the Lord, who says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Child of God, we need to be like David and his men. We need to refuse to listen to the lies of the enemy. The enemy will tell us, what's the point in evangelizing this community? Sure, it's hard. What's the point in inviting someone to the house of God this year? Sure, they've said no already. And yet we must shut our ears to the enemy's lies, and we must open our ear to the very voice of God who tells us to go forward. Let me draw your attention to some people in church history who refused to listen to the enemy and went forward for God. I want you to stand with me at the docks in the city of Liverpool. I want you to stand there and watch a little 3-masted clipper slipping quietly out of the harbor. The date is September 1853. On board is a gaunt, wide-eyed 20-year-old man, waving goodbye to his loved ones and friends as they gather on the docks. His name? Hudson Taylor, missionary to China. I'm sure the enemy told Hudson Taylor, you can't go to China. And yet, by God's grace, he did. What he accomplished in that great land of China. I want you to sit with me in a hall surrounded by young men. They're sitting and they're listening to the veterinary missionary from Southern Africa, Robert Moffat. I have seen, he said, the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary has ever been. Someone must go and tell them of Jesus Christ. In that meeting, there was a young 25-year-old man who vowed to God that he would be the man that would go and tell them. His name, David Livingstone, missionary to Africa. I'm sure the enemy whispered into Livingstone's ear, stay at home, David, stay at home. And yet David resolved by God's grace to go forward. During his time in the mission field, his watchword was this, anywhere, provided it be forward. Anywhere, provided it be forward. Come with me and stand at a London railway station and watch a parlour maid set out for China with her Bible, her tickets and £2.09. She was only 26 years of age. And yet despite her age and despite her inexperience, she believed that God had called her to China. Her name, Gladys Aylward. I'm sure the enemy said to her, What good will you ever do? Sure, you're only a young girl. And yet Gladys Aylward believed that God had called her. And so she went forth at the Master's command. These men and women of church history, called of God, could have very easily listened to the enemy, stayed at home, got themselves a good job, settled down in life and enjoyed the comforts of home. But they shut their ears to the enemy. And they ventured forward into the unknown with God Almighty. Maybe there's someone here today and God has been putting his hand upon your life. You feel that God has something more for you to do. He wants you to go that little bit further. Going that little bit further, going forward, and leaving that spiritual rut that you've fallen into. A little further in prayer. A little further in service, a little further in personal holiness, a little further in giving to the work of God. If that be your case, you can be sure that the devil, he'll furnish you with many excuses for you not to do so. And yet, could I encourage you today to be like David and refuse to listen to the enemy and go forward for God and go forward with God? Going forward with God in a new year in God's will, you must first refuse to listen to the enemy. But in the second place, if you want to go forward with God in a new year, you must wait for the king's instruction. You must wait for the king's instruction. Notice the verse number 8 that is before us here. And David said on that day, "Whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul shall be chief and captive. Wherefore they said, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house." Not one general, not one captain, not one soldier gathered around their commander-in-chief that day moved until the king issued his royal command. They waited. They waited for clear and they waited for definite direction from their king. For the king had a specific plan in his mind about the way ahead and how to conquer this great city, the city of Jerusalem. And many times in our lives, we've not made a mess of our lives because we have failed. We have failed to ask God for clear direction and wait on Him to direct us in certain areas of our lives. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. The Bible is replete, full of examples of individuals who rushed ahead of God without asking His counsel and asking counsel from Him, and how they regret it. The decisions that they made hasty, and all their decisions, and then at the end of it all, regretted the decisions that they made. I think of Lot. He made a quick choice, basing it on the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. He decided to set up home there in Jerusalem. A quick, hasty decision without seeking God about it all. And what a disaster it brought into his home. His wife lost. His daughters-in-law lost. His sons-in-law lost. Well, because he failed to ask God. I think of Abraham, who went down into Egypt. And what a disaster that would be. Joshua outside Ai, without asking counsel from God as he attempts to conquer that city for the first time, and those men that were slaughtered because Joshua did not ask God, did not wait on him. Think of Jonah. There he's standing at the docks in Joppa, heading to Tarshish. Failed to ask counsel of God. And many examples are reminders to us all that in every decision of life, every decision, we are to seek God's will and seek counsel at the mouth of God. And as we do so, brethren and sisters, we must wait. We must wait for His clear leading and His direction in our lives. However, as we wait on God and as He shows us the course of action we must take, whatever the cost, regardless of our fears, we must obey then the leading of the Lord. We must take to heart the words of Mary. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. Do it. I wonder, young person, young believer, older believer, is it your desire this year in 2016? Is it your desire to go forward with God? Are you happy and content in this spiritual, as it were, plateau that you have, as it were, climbed to? Are you content where you are spiritually in your Christian walk with God. It ought not to be. We ought to be desiring more of God. We ought to know more of Him. We should not content ourselves where we are spiritually. We need to pray that God would give us spiritual appetites and longings to go that little bit further with the Lord this year. To know more of Him. To labor more for Him. To give ourselves more entirely to Him. And to consecrate ourselves unto God. We must desire to go forward with Him. We must be careful not to rush ahead of Him, but we must patiently wait on our King's instructions. I found out in my Christian life that God is in no rush. God is in no rush. C.H. Spurgeon wrote, "There are hours of perplexity when the most willing spirit, anxiously desirous to serve the Lord, knows not what part to take. Then what shall it do?" he asked. "Vex itself by despair? Fly back in cowardice? Turn to the right hand in fear or rush forward in presumption?" "No," he said, "but simply wait. Simply wait." And maybe you're seeking direction in your life. Where to go? How to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? And you're thinking, "I could do that, I could do this, I could do the other thing." But you're to wait on God. Wait for His clear, definite direction. And as He shows you, then be careful you don't lag behind Him. Because the King's business requires haste. Do whatsoever He saith unto you. Wait on your King's instruction. And thank God He'll show you the way that lies ahead. Thirdly, if you want to go forward with God this year in the will of God, then you'll have to look for an opening. You'll have to look for an opening. The city of Jerusalem was built on a 40-foot high cliff upon which the inhabitants had erected fortified walls, making the city, at least in their minds, an impregnable fortress. And yet David says, in the verse number 8, "Whoso getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites, the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul, he shall be chief and captain." Now, some Bible commentators, they believe that David's men, they climbed, we're looking at the word gutter here, they believe that they climbed up through some water tunnels that connected the inside of the city to the Gihon spring that was situated just south of the city walls. A sort of water aqueduct whereby water was able to be transported from the spring right up into the city of Jerusalem. For every city needs an internal spring in order to survive. We need water and food. And so if the city was besieged, they could at least then go down through this tunnel and get some water and bring it up to their city's residents. However, there is a problem. It's a 350-year problem. Because you see, those water tunnels that Bible commentators believe, those water tunnels have been dated to approximately 700 BC. But this event occurred 1050 BC. In other words, 350 years before these tunnels were constructed, David somehow and his men got into the city. So what is this gutter that is spoken of here? How did they get into the city? Well, if you look and take a closer look at that word gutter, it sheds a little bit of light upon this 350-year problem. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 12, we have a similar word. The word there is translated pipes. And it's that word that can be traced back to this word gutter. The Hebrew word for the word pipes in Zechariah 4 verse 12 is the word santerol. Santerol. It is that word santerol that is one of a combination of words that make up our English word sanitation. Sanitation. The gutter that David speaks of is believed, at least by some, to be the sewage pipe to be the sewage pipe that flowed out of the city of Jerusalem. It was a means by which all the city's refuge could be taken out of that city and pushed down through that pipe and taken out of the city in order to preserve the city from disease and infections and different things that come about with waste sewage. And so this sewage pipe, this gutter, was constructed in order to put all that sewage down into it. Down into the gutter. Now that sewage pipe would have probably just been about 2-3 foot wide and diameter. Just big enough for a person to crawl up in through and to get into the city. In order to get into the city through this pipe, the person would then have to stoop. And then would have crawled up through the refuge. Imagine it in your mind. Imagine a sewage pipe. And imagine an individual climbing through it all in order to eventually get into the city and in order to capture that city. Open the gates and allow David's men to go right into the city and capture it. Think of it all. As they climbed up through the sewage pipe, they first had to stoop in order to get into the city and then inch their way up that pipe. It was the only opening into the city. There are many people in God's work and they're looking for some great opening. But oft times in the work of God, it's just a little opening. It's maybe the most unexpected opening that you would think of. I wonder what type of opening are you looking for in order that you might serve the Lord and go forward for Him. Oft times, if we are to go forward with God, then we'll first have to stoop. We'll have to stoop. The Bible makes it very clear. The person whom God promotes is often the person who learns how to stoop in humility. Proverbs 15, verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 22, 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. You'll have to stoop in the work of God. Christ stooped. What a stoop He stooped for us. What a condescension He did for us. He came, we read there in Philippians 2, 6 to 9, about God being in the form of God. Christ the Son thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation. He stooped. The work of God, folks, oft times provides us with many an opening for us to serve the Lord. And yet, the problem is that we're unwilling to stoop. We're unwilling to stoop in order to serve. The call for workers to help in the children's meeting, it goes unheeded. The request for laborers to deliver church invitations, it often falls on deaf ears. The appeal for outreach workers goes unanswered. A request to help clean up after some church function is often ignored. You see, some people are looking for some great opening. And yet God wants us to start doing the little things before He entrusts us with the great things. I remember well the moment when my opening came. I was sitting one Sunday evening in Randestown Free Presbyterian Church. The call went out for workers to join the Shaftesbury Square outreach team. Attempted to reach university students with the gospel. That's where I started to preach. Never did I think that such a small opening back then would lead to where I am now. But you see, you never know where God's opening will lead to. That's the exciting thing about the work of God, and as we go forward with God, we need to look for an opening. There's one final thing that I want you to consider. If you're going to go forward with God in the year that lies ahead in God's will, expect to leave the crowd behind you. Expect to leave the crowd behind you. Picture the scene. David and all those soldiers, they're standing around the opening of the sewage pipe. and they're looking at the city's sewage just flowing out at their feet. I can hear them say one to another, after you. Oh, no, 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 I insist, after you. I'm sure not too many soldiers were queuing up and volunteering themselves to wade their way through the city sewage. And yet one man did. One man did crawl up through that sewage pipe and captured the city of Jerusalem. His name is given not in this portion, but in 1 Chronicles 11 and the verse 6, where we read these words, "And David said, Whoso smiteth the Jebusites first shall be chief and captain. So Joab, the son of Zeruiah, went up first and was chief. And David dwelt in the castle. Therefore they called it the city of David." The word "whosoever" in that verse indicates that the opportunity was open to every soldier. Every man that stood around that pipe that day, every man was given the opportunity to climb up and become the next commander-in-chief of Israel's armies. Every person. And yet one man was courageous enough to obey the king's command and to go forward for his king. But in order for him to do that, he had to leave the crowd behind. Remember, the opening was just big enough for one man to crawl up through. The crowd didn't follow him that day. Just one man, Joab. It's oftentimes the case that the crowd, they often sit and they hear not the call of God. And yet it takes but one to hear the call. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Just takes one individual. God places no age or ability or positional restriction on any of his labors. The opportunity to serve the Lord is to open to the whosoever. I wonder, will you allow yourself to hear God's call? If you will, then be ready for something. Be ready to leave the crowd behind. See, the way forward with God is always a very lonely way. The crowd never follows you. It's always a lonely path. However, there was something that motivated Joab to climb through that sewage pipe. Something that propelled him forward to capture Jerusalem. Something that inspired him to go forward for his king. What was it? It was love for the king. Love for his king. Joab, by going forward, by climbing through that sewage pipe, was exhibiting to David his love for him. "My king has asked me to go through this for him and to honor him. And in love to him, Joab says, I gladly obey." 2016, God's going to ask some of us, if not all of us, to climb through something that we wouldn't want to climb through. He's going to ask us to go through something that we would never ask to go through of ourselves. But in love for our king, we must go forward. I wonder, how desperate are you to demonstrate your love for your heavenly King? Does the love of Christ grip your soul and propel you to tell others of Christ? Does love for Christ inspire you to leave the comfort of an armchair and come to the house of God, help out in an outreach, or give up a Friday night to sit among the boys and girls as they hear the Word of God? There's something that I noticed here in 2 Samuel chapter 5. And it's this, that only Joab's name is mentioned, in 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Only Joab's name is mentioned here. The rest of the army generals that were there that day, none of their names are mentioned. No, they were willing to pay the price. Heaven makes no mention of them. Because it's only the man or woman, the young person, who goes forward with God and for God, is mentioned and honored by God. Let me ask you, will you risk your all for your king this year? Or will you sit idly by and watch someone else paying the cost, going through and going on with God? You see, heaven honors the man or woman that goes forward for their king. May God help us to be such people. Here's my final question to you. Do you want to go forward for God this year? Or do you want to sit in that rut that you're in, that spiritual rut? Well, if you want to go forward for God, then you need to remember the lessons of this passage. Don't listen to the enemy. The enemy will keep you spiritually at ease. But don't listen to the enemy. Step out in faith. Wait on your king's instruction. What does he say to you? What would he have you to do in this new year? Wait on the king's instruction and then look for an opening. It may not be the opening that you're expecting. It may just be someone saying, could you help us to do that? Would you do this service in this ministry? Would you help us out in that meeting? That might be your very opening. You may see it to be just a little opening, but that may be the opening that God would have you to go through. But look for it. Look for the opening. And finally, as you go forward, expect to leave the crowd behind. They'll stand and watch someone else pay the price. But if you want to go forward for God, then you'll have to pay the price to go through. Go through with God. Thy vows to pay. The price is high, severe the test. For those who would enjoy God's best, surrender all and take the road with those who will go through with God. May God help us to go forward. May God help us to press on. Because there's victory. And there's blessing for the child of God that does so. I trust that the motto of your life in 2016 in the will of God will be forward ever, backward never. Forward ever, child of God, backward never. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. Thank God, Jerusalem was conquered. David became king. He subdued the nation because one man decided to climb through a sewage pipe in order to conquer a city. May God bless these considerations to our hearts today. Let's unite in prayer together. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow before thee today in the Saviour's lovely name. And how we long, O God, that our lives would count for thee. We're aware, Heavenly Father, in our lives that there are things that you ask us to pass through. We would never choose them for ourselves. We thank thee, Father, that beyond these things, there lies blessing and benefit for our souls. And as, Father, you lead us on in 2016 in thy will, we pray that we'll say, ever forward for our King. May the love of Christ constrain us. May the love of Christ propel us to do something more for him. And may we see cities and towns and villages fall under King Jesus' control. May there be advancement and prosperity in thy work. Answer prayer. Be with us on this thy day. May we know thy blessing among us. For we pray this in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen and amen.